Once again, Isaiah 61, and we're going to read the first three verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you again for your word, and we just thank you for the truths contained here, speaking of our Savior and all that you sent him to accomplish, but as well we recognize it speaks also of what you want to accomplish in and through our lives as your servants. We just pray, help us to understand these truths, and may we apply them to our lives today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we've been continuing to consider the implications of Jesus' statement in John 20:21, where he said, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And that has brought us to this passage here in Isaiah 61. And of course, as we saw Jesus read this passage in Luke chapter 4 and declare that after he read it, that this day was a scripture fulfilled in your ears, it's clear to us that this passage specifically applies to Jesus and clearly defines not only the spirit in which he was sent, but also the purposes for which he was sent. Yet at the same time, we recognize that what is true of Jesus, as recorded here prophetically in Isaiah 61, it also needs to become true of us. We're being conformed to Christ's image. That's his whole purpose, right? That everything that happens is directed to that purpose of conforming us to his image. And so we want to realize that Christ's focus needs to become our focus, that his purposes need to become our purposes, and his mission must become our mission. Like Jesus, we have seen that we are sent with the Holy Spirit's anointing, and in that we are both consecrated and empowered by God for his service. And as we saw last Sunday, we, like Jesus, are sent to preach. And that's the idea that we're to proclaim and publish and broadcast that the message God has given us to share with the world around us. And so knowing that we are sent with the Spirit's anointing, knowing that we are sent to preach, we must then ask ourselves, what is the message that we are to be preaching and proclaiming and publishing to the world around us? Now, in a way, this should be plain to us, but it is important that we understand what our message is, because it is very possible for us to be preaching the wrong thing. We actually see in the scriptures two things specifically that we are warned not to preach. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, we see Paul declare to us that we preach not ourselves. And that's important to remember, that we are not trying to ever draw attention to ourselves and get people to notice us, the people to think that we have the answers, that we are the ones that they need to trust in and follow, that we're always trying to direct them to the one who is their Savior and the one who is the truth. That people don't need to hear from us. People need to hear from God. I think we know that, but I think it's important that we're reminded of that. That we must always remember that the messenger is not the message. The message is so much greater than the messenger. It is very important for us, of course, as the messenger, that we live in such a way that we are a good representative of the one who has sent us, and that we do not cause someone to turn away from the message because of our conduct or our inappropriate behavior. What we always want to realize is that it's not about us. That it's we have to just give out that word, and it's not where we want to become the story. We want to just be the one that proclaims the story people need to hear. But as well, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we see something else that Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That's the thing, is that we want to understand what it says there, that we're not to be preaching with enticing words of man's wisdom. We're not trying to impress people with our vocabulary, with our skills at oratory, with our ability to convince and persuade in that sense. That it's the thing is that people can get the wisdom of man, men anywhere. And if we're relying on that, it's not going to be what people need. That yes, it may impress people, but they don't need to hear from us. They don't need to be wowed by our skills or our abilities. They need to hear from God. They need to hear God's word. And we're to preach that message that's given to us by God. We see further down that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And that's really, we understand with the idea of the Spirit's anointing, that He's the one that's giving us the words to speak. He's the one that's giving us the message. That if we're relying upon our ability to frame it in a certain way, usually we're going to struggle to get it out the way that we should. But instead, if we're relying upon the Holy Spirit, what He's teaching, that's going to be most effective. But then we ask, what then is the message that we, as sent by Jesus, are to be preaching? And what do we see that it says in Isaiah 61 verse 1? It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings." And so that is what we're to be preaching, good tidings. What are tidings? Tidings we would define as news, as an account of what has taken place, an account of what was maybe not known before. That there's, we think of it that each day that we have news reports that we take in of things that just happened, where there's report given. It's usually the idea that this is news that we need to know in order to go about our day. And so we want to understand that as followers of Christ, we are tasked with proclaiming good news. And as we do so, we realize that we're proclaiming good news to a world that is in desperate need of good news. In our present day, we recognize people are bombarded with a lot of bad news. There's so much in terms of journalism, the idea that if it bleeds, it leads. That it's always... there's some calamity, some natural disaster that has occurred, and where homes have been destroyed, people have been displaced, lives have been claimed, that is what we hear of. We hear of terrible accidents and tragedies that have occurred, in which lives full of promise were suddenly snuffed out by the carelessness or negligence of someone else, or just by some just strange thing that just kind of happened unpredictably. We hear many, many different crimes, acts of murder and violence and abuse and theft, that things come to fruition where something happens, some terrible thing happens, and you find out the whole story behind it and how terrible it is, of just what it was motivated by, usually by someone that was not thinking rationally, someone that perhaps was completely filled with hate, and where innocent people die. It's such a sad thing to hear of those things that happen, and it doesn't seem that it ever goes away, that it always seems to come back, no matter what people's solutions may offer. that hate continues to breed hate, and a lot of times one act of violence breeds another act of revenge in one way or another. And over again, of course, we hope that there's guidance and leadership from those who are in positions of power, that they will set an example of behavior, and that they will have solutions that can maybe deal with some of these many problems that are cropping up in society over and over again. But what do we find instead? That over and over again our leaders are embroiled in one scandal after another. That we look at these people as ones that we should kind of honor and respect, and then we find by their actions sometimes it becomes so difficult to respect them. And we vote one person out and we think, well, then this next person will be so much better, and then we find out they're so much worse. And then it just, we see this, that we get bad news over and over again. There's so much going on in this world, so much of it is not good. And as we listen to it, as we watch it, I think for many people it can be very discouraging, very depressing, that sometimes they'd rather just kind of turn off the news, maybe listen to sports, something that doesn't matter, but even with that it can be discouraging if your team loses. But it's always, it's just, our world is hearing a whole lot of bad news. And so they need to hear some good tidings, some good news, and that's what we can give to them as well. And you think of it not just in news media reports, but as well personally, that there can be a lot of different people, and we can think of it of people around us that are hearing a lot of bad news. Maybe it could be that they or a loved one has lost their job, and now they have to think, okay, how am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to meet their needs? Maybe it could be they get the news from the doctor. They've been diagnosed with some terrible disease that they have to try to figure out, how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to get treatment? Will it be successful? Is this a bump in the road, or is this kind of going to be the end of the road? And how are we going to manage all of this? Different things happen. Sometimes families hear bad news of friends or family members that got to fighting and have broken up, and families are just ripped apart because of different things that have happened. And so in this sin-cursed world, we realize everyone's hearing plenty of bad news, and so they're definitely in need of some good news. But we understand, too, in this world, not only has there been a problem of bad news, especially lately, it seems that there's quite attention given to the idea of fake news, where different reports are published that seem to be authentic, but then there's later on they're exposed to be factually correct, that people can publish certain narratives and give all this different support to their different innuendos, and you find out later on that it was completely baseless, that there was no truth to it at all, that they had fabricated every bit of it. That we see that sometimes you have events that occur and you see a few clips of it and you draw your conclusions based on that bit of information, but then later on when you actually get the full news clip and you find some details have just been kind of picked out, overemphasized, the more important details have been omitted, and the report that is given may altogether misrepresent what actually occurred. And you have these reports that are given from anonymous sources, you find out the person just made it up. And it's getting very difficult now to know what the truth is. They have different websites that are supposed to be fact-checking websites, but then you find that there's some websites that check those fact-checking websites, that because some of them are misrepresenting things or putting their own spin or bias upon it. And so it's very hard nowadays to really be able to discern the truth, that it's very necessary as young people to develop critical thinking skills to be able to decide, okay, what is actually How can I identify what's true and false? And so we want to understand, people need to hear the truth. And it's something as Christians that we have God's word as truth, and we have the honor and we have the obligation to share the good news and the truth with everybody that is around us. And so when it speaks that we're to preach good tidings as God's people, what are the good tidings, the good news? What is the truth from above that we are specifically tasked with publishing abroad? That yes, we're to share the Bible with mankind because it is truth. But specifically, what is it that we've been entrusted with that people all over the world need to hear? And we recognize that the tidings we bring to the world were the same tidings that the angels brought to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, if you turn there with me. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, as they appeared to the shepherds and they were so afraid, it says, Luke 2 verse 10, the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And that's the thing, is that we have the same message, the same news that the angel bore to the shepherds so long ago. We have these good tidings of great joy, which is to all people. There isn't anybody excluded. Everyone needs to hear. Everyone can be blessed by hearing of this and coming to accept it as true. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." But that's what we want to share with people. That's what they need to know. The good tidings that we bring is that this world has a Savior. A Savior from sin. A Savior from hate. A Savior from death. And the name of that Savior is Jesus Christ. And so to a world that sits in darkness, He is the light of life. To a world that is thirsty and seeking satisfaction, He is the water of life from which all can freely drink. To a world that is wandering, He is the good shepherd that can guide us. To a world that is overwhelmed by deceit and bondage, He is the truth that makes us free. And to a world that has lost its way, He is the way, the truth, and the life. To a world that rests under the curse of death, He is the resurrection and the life. And there is a word in our vocabulary that means good news. And we use that word to encapsulate the message we're to be giving out. And that word is the gospel. And that is why we see in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, when Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 61, that it's translated this way. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And so that's what we understand. Good tidings, good news is synonymous with the gospel. And when we think of the gospel, that we're thinking about the life story of Jesus Christ and what He accomplished by His life, by His death, and by His resurrection. And that's why we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 1 and 2, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Now we think of what it says there. This is the gospel Paul preached, same gospel we're to be preaching. It is a gospel that we received, and as we received, we're to give it out. It is the gospel by which we stand, by how we live our lives and govern our lives. And is the gospel by which we are saved when we believe upon it. And so in verse 3 and 4, we see it laid out. It says, "For I deliver unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And so that's what we understand. The gospel is encapsulated in this. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we realize the reason for all of that, that it happened. It wasn't just an event that happened to someone long ago. It is an event that was central to history and has meaning for us even today. That we We think of it in this way, that we preach of the cross, we preach of Christ crucified. And even though we understand that to the world, they don't want to often receive that story, to the intellectual it may be foolishness, to the self-righteous and the religious it may be a stumbling block, but we know that the preaching of the cross is the power of God. It has the ability to save man from his sins. We see what Paul spoke of in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That is what we preach of what Christ did on the cross, that why he did it, that he came to die for our sins, that all of us were sinners in need of a Savior, that we couldn't save ourselves, and that he came down from heaven and lived a perfect life and gave his life as a ransom for us, so that we could be saved through faith in him. And so we preach the cross of Christ because by his crucifixion, Christ paid the penalty for our sins so that all who come to him by faith might be saved. And as well, even though man through the centuries has scoffed at the idea, we also preach the resurrection of Christ as the absolutely true, life-changing truth that it is. Because it is by his resurrection that Jesus showed himself not just to be the dead Savior, but to be the risen Lord, to have conquered death itself. And because he lives, we can live also. We can live a life of freedom and victory, because through him we are spiritually resurrected. We are made dead unto sin, alive unto God, that we can now walk in newness of life. We can walk in freedom and victory. And one day we have that blessed hope that we're going to be physically resurrected, that this body that is always weakened over time, weakened by the curse of sin, that one day we'll have these new glorified bodies where there's no more pain, no more suffering anymore. And it's all because of what he did. And the fact is mankind has a universal problem of sin. And Jesus is the universal solution to our universal problem. He came to save us from our sins, from sin's penalty, from sin's power, and one day from sin's very presence. And the blessing that we have is that any person in this world, whether they're rich or poor, whether they're old or young, whether they're man or woman or child, whether they live in North America, South America, Asia, Africa, Australia, they could be of any nationality, any people group, any language, that if they know of Jesus, if they come to call upon him in faith for salvation, and that in that instant, their sins, all of their sins will be forgiven. They'll be made spiritually alive. They will be adopted to God's family. They will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God himself to guide and to strengthen them as they face the challenges of life. And furthermore, we understand from the scriptures that God declares that the indwelling presence of his Spirit is but the earnest of our inheritance. That is the down payment to give us just a taste of the greatness of the inheritance that we'll enjoy with him throughout eternity. That we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so when we understand the scope of all that God promises us and all that God has offered to mankind through the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially as we have received it ourselves and we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that we know that everything that he said was true, that it's what we thought, that it was even more than what we expected, that the half was not told us of how great it is, that we realize that we've been blessed by this good news, and we realize everyone else needs to hear it, that we realize that's the whole idea, is that he's shared with us, we've received it, we've received of his Holy Spirit, been anointed by him, and it's so that we could then turn around and be used of him to tell everybody else that we can, that we might be used of him to preach the gospel to every creature. And so for us to be able to share this glorious good news is a tremendous blessing and an honor and privilege that we can just share how what God has done for us and what he can do for other people. But of course, we must also recognize as God's people that it is a very holy responsibility and obligation. We see of the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, for he says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me, is unto me, if I preach not the gospel." That we want to understand that we as God's people must preach the gospel. That is not an option for us, that we have an obligation to those around us to share. And so in the time we have left, I just want to consider a couple different thoughts in that of why we as God's people must preach the gospel. First of all, we want to recognize that we must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ alone that is the only means of salvation for all mankind. That, as we've already looked at, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes. And it is the only thing in this world that there is. It isn't something where there are many ways to God, and as long as someone's just sincere in their beliefs, that God will accept that. No, we understand that Jesus himself declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." That people have to come through the Lord Jesus. They have to trust in him. Alone, that Jesus said of himself, he said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." That he is the door. There is no other way but through him. We think in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 that the apostle Peter affirmed this truth, where he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That people have to come through Jesus, that he is the only Savior this world will ever know. We sing the song in Sunday school, "Everybody ought to know who Jesus is." And that's certainly true, but we could very well sing it differently and say, "Everybody needs to know." Because when it comes to salvation, he is the only hope that any of us have. That it can't be, "Well, I'll just believe in the person I want to believe in, or believe it in the way that I want." No, it has to be in what he did for us, as the scriptures teach. But secondly as well, we must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because the devil is hard at work in this world proclaiming many false gospels. Now we want to understand this whole idea of fake news that has become of such prominence lately. It is not at all of recent origin. That there is always, we can study just the whole history really of propaganda, of how different falsehoods have been propagated through history. But we really understand that the originator of it all is the devil, who is declared by Jesus to be the father of lies. He is the deceiver. He has been really the editor-in-chief of fake news from the fall of man onward. And we really want to understand that. He knows all too well the power of the gospel. He knows how essential it is that every individual hear it, understand it, and respond to it in order to be saved. And when we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, or actually 1 Timothy chapter 2 rather, where it says that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, that is his desire, that is what he's seeking to accomplish. But we understand that the devil is always seeking to thwart the purposes of God. He wants no one to be saved. He wants no one to come to the knowledge of the truth so that they might be saved. And he's going to do everything in his power to keep them from the truth. And so we understand that first of all, what he desires to do, he desires to hide the truth from the lost. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And that is what we understand. That's what he's trying to do. He wants to keep people in ignorance. And he doesn't want the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine unto them. And so that is why we see in the verses following that we must preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And God has commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, and he has shined the light in our hearts so that we might bear that light to a world that is in darkness. And so the devil seeks to do all he can to prevent people from hearing the true gospel. And as well, we realize that's why often when we try to share God's word that we face so much different persecution and different attacks and calls for people wanting us to be silenced. And it's because he's trying to do all he can to discourage and intimidate us as Christians from preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet if those efforts fail, we understand he has a third tactic that he is using all the more in our present age, and that is that he bombards our world with many false gospels. If he can get people to believe a lie, then they are not going to come and accept the life-giving truth. And so thus, he perverts the gospel of Christ, either taking out essential truths or adding in other elements that are not essential. We think of it as some false gospels, the problem of sin is taken out. It is taught because we're under God's grace that we can just continue in sin. But that we recognize to be a lie, that Jesus didn't set us free to sin. Instead, he gave us the liberty to be free from sin. He's not going to allow us to continue in what brought us into condemnation and bondage. He wants to set us free. And we should not live any longer therein. We recognize as well with other false gospels that works are added to faith, that we have to get baptized or circumcised, or we have to partake of certain sacraments or do a certain amount of good works to either get saved or to stay saved. But we recognize that some of those things, no, they were part of the Old Testament era that they were to do back then. And in Christ, we're part of the New Testament era, that we don't have to continue with the many different things of the law. We don't have to become Jewish in order to be saved. And as well, we realize the good works that we do, that they're not the means of our salvation, rather they are a product of our salvation. We don't do them to get saved, we don't do them to stay saved, we do them because we are saved, because Christ is living in us, and he is learning, and we are learning to have him live his life out through us as we draw closer to him. And so, there's many false gospels in the world today. It's too numerous to list them all, and that's why it's so important for us as Christians to know the truth, and the truth will make us free. It'll help us to identify the counterfeits. But there's many people around us that they don't know the truth, and it's very easy for them to think this is the real thing, this is what I'm seeking after, and we realize that there's many cults in the world today that preach another Jesus, that it's not one of the scriptures, that doesn't fit, that either he's not God or he's not man or he's asking a different way for us to go to him other than by faith in what he'd accomplished. And so we realize that that's what happens, that it's either adding or taking away from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as being alone sufficient for our salvation. And so the devil wants to bombard this world with as many misrepresentations and many counterfeits of Jesus and his gospel as he can. And in doing that, he has a twofold mindset. We realize his hope is either that many may believe in the counterfeit misrepresentation of the gospel, thinking it's the real thing so that they never come to know the true gospel. Or he's hoping that by rejecting what is the misrepresentation, that they choose to reject Christianity as a whole. So when the true gospel is presented, they refuse to even consider its life-giving truth. And so we want to recognize that we live in a world that is bound in darkness and in deceit, in sin and sorrow. It is a world that is full of a lot of bad news and a lot of fake news. That few people know what the truth is. Few people have something that they can really look to for hope, for the future, hope for their lives, hope for eternity. And so now, more than ever, people all over the world need to hear the truth of God's word. They need to hear the good tidings from above. They need to hear the good news of a Savior, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus was the living word of truth sent from heaven to earth, and now that he has ascended up again to heaven, he has sent us as his disciples to proclaim his message, to tell people about him, to declare the word of truth to a lost and dying world. And we have a glorious message to share. It is good tidings that every person needs to hear. And so may the Lord help each of us to have the courage and the boldness to preach His word, to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Because all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but they're not going to call upon Him if they haven't believed on Him. And they won't believe on Him if they've never heard of Him. And they can't hear of Him without a preacher. And so each of us are sent by God to preach the tidings of Jesus Christ. And so may each of us, as anointed and empowered by the Spirit, lift our voices and do our part in spreading the good news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word. And we just thank You for Your glorious gospel that has brought salvation in our lives and hearts as we have believed upon it. And Lord, we know that it can have that same saving power in the lives of so many others around us, Lord, that are struggling with sorrow and sin and losing all hope in life. We just pray, Lord, that You would help us to be faithful in sharing these good tidings with a world that is in need of them. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.